Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich, Kevin, leave that up a little bit. Rich, name that tune.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
And I know
it's easy when they say it.
Okay, but who's the band? Who's the group?
They also did Jerry Across the
Bridge. There you go. All right, I'm going to give you prop points for that one. That's a good one. Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Jerry and the Pacemakers.
And that's Jerry with a G, by the way. I'll have you know.
And Pacemakers with a Q.
Welcome back, Jerry, folks. Rich and I are having our own little moment here. We'll be back with you in a second. Thanks for being part of my day. We try to have a little fun here, and that's definitely from the Wayback Machine. And Rich is a little more way back than me, so I knew he'd.
Yeah, I am.
I knew he'd know that one. And thanks for being part of our day. Rich's website is Mullings.com, by the way, thrice weekly cyber column that you want to see. If you're a Republican, you want to know what he says, and if you're a Democrat, you want to know what he's up to. Rich, let's talk about what happened last week for a few minutes. The Supreme Court heard 6+ hours or so of testimony by both sides, argument I should say, not testimony, argument,
right,
by both sides of the issue of the Patients Protection and Affordability Care Act or something like that. It's such a tortured name. They weren't even smart enough, and I think this is a big mistake really. They weren't able to come up with a handy, cuddly, warm and fuzzy name like they do all these other bills that wind
right
up becoming a bomb. And they left it to somebody else to describe it, which it became known as Obamacare. And now even the Obama folks are calling it Obamacare. So anyway, Obamacare was front and center in the Supreme Court's docket last week. And what do you think happened? How do you think it turned out?
Well, we'll see how it turned out. As far as the court watchers were concerned, I was at a big dinner the Saturday before that, and if you had taken a poll of the 600 people in the room, 598 of them would have said the Supreme Court is going to uphold the whole law,
yeah,
and we're going to move on. That was on Saturday. By Tuesday afternoon, and certainly by Wednesday afternoon, the conventional wisdom had turned 180 degrees, solely based on the tone and tenor of the questions, not just from the court, from the conservative members of the court, but from Kennedy and some of the others as well. So
mm-hmm.
Now the theory is that they're going to at least overturn, they're going to at least declare the mandate unconstitutional.
The individual mandate, which is basically the only funder that the law has left.
Yeah, that's right, and leave the rest of it in place, and leave it to the Congress to figure out how to pay for the rest of it, or,
mm-hmm.
or withdraw the rest of it. It's not the court's job to say, well, now that we've taken away the funding for it, we declare the rest of the law invalid. That's up to the Congress.
Wasn't it interesting, Rich, to hear some members of the court frame their questions from a constitutional standpoint, and some of the judges frame their questions and even their laments from a societal standpoint,
from a practical
standpoint. And doesn't that give us a view through a window into how some of these judges think?
Oh, I believe that's absolutely right. And you know, they don't go into this thing, they don't go into these big cases with, you know, not having ever heard a word about it. First of all, they live in Washington, D.C.,
right,
so it's hard to miss.
They live in the Petri dish, don't they?
No, they do. And so they have some preformed ideas, kind of generally. Then they listen to these arguments, and the administration's guy, the Solicitor General, was by all accounts just dreadful. He was just awful, which didn't help. But I don't think it's hard for me to believe that they would make up their mind on you know, stage.
But you would like to think. But Rich, I, here again, you know, the old farm boy still trying to believe in, you know, God, America, and apple pie, you know, and baseball. You want to think that when they take that job and put the robe on and sit up there on that bench, that they say, okay, I am a constitutional animal. I have my ideas about, you know, I'm a human. I've got my biases and everything, but basically my job here is to defend the Constitution And what I heard was were people who, some people who were not, and I'm going to call one of them out, Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, thank you. I'm going to call her out. I mean, her comments led me to believe that her opinion about how life should be rules more than her attitude about the Constitution.
Well, that's been the argument, you know, that conservatives have had against what we used to call activist judges. Remember,
yeah.
For years we were concerned about that. But let me disagree with you on one minor but I think important point. You said it's their job to defend the Constitution. I'm not sure that's right. I think their job is to interpret.
Okay, well, that's you're right.
And,
you're right about that.
And,
yeah.
And that gives them a significant.
I was afraid you were going to argue with me about baseball, and I knew that wasn't the case. Our apple,
no,
maybe,
but opening day is looming.
Maybe apple pie. Okay, so what do you think is going to happen?
I think if I had to bet a quarter, and as I'm not even a lawyer, much less a constitutional scholar.
And we're all grateful for that too, by the way.
Yeah, that, thank goodness for that. But my guess as of this moment is that they will rule the individual mandate unconstitutional on because it's an overreach by the Congress, by the federal government into.
And if they do that,
individuals, but into the states. States can do it because they can do those sorts of things.
But if they do that, what would that mean politically?
That's a great question. I don't know what it means politically.
I want to talk about both sides of that argument. Folks, we got one of the best political minds in the world right here on the show, and he's a pretty good record identifier too. So we're going to talk about this. I want to ask Rich, what happens if they uphold the mandate, and what happens if they don't? What would that mean for both sides? Because this is going to be a big part of the debate as we go into November 6th. 10 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Right back with Rich Galen.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.